Hi, I'm Devin Nunes, and welcome to my very first podcast. This is quite an opportunity here today. We're actually in Fresno, across from Fresno State University at Wahoo's Tacos. And I want to thank Wahoo's Tacos for letting us use their facility, use the business. We're trying to bring a little bit of Valley flavor to the podcast. We're going to be doing these hopefully two or three or four times a month. And I'm delighted today to welcome Jim Patterson. Jim Patterson was a longtime mayor of Fresno, and he also now has been in the state assembly for now, Jim, what has it been?
6 years.
6 years. 6 years, and he's doing a very good job in a tough situation. And Jim, welcome to my
very first
podcast. It is a pleasure to have you.
The delight to be with you. Thank you. Appreciate all the work that you do for us. We're very grateful.
Well, thank you, Jim. And you know, this is doing this podcast is something that I wanted to do largely because, well, first of all, I saw one of my colleagues doing it. So Sean Duffy, who's a lumberjack from Wisconsin, great guy. And what he found is that he started doing these podcasts, and it allows him to communicate directly with his constituents. And that's what I like about this is that I can bring on guests. We can do it around the community, bring on guests and be able to, I think, bring national and state issues, give them some prominence by putting them on a podcast, so this can go not only to all over the Valley, but all over America.
We're in a very difficult situation right now with respect to the media and some of the reporting and all of that. Institutions that have had significant presence are in many times becoming more and more either biased or irrelevant, and we have real challenges in communicating. I commend you for doing the wise kind of thing, which is to take the message directly to the people, invite them to be a part of what's going on and inform them and go around the roadblocks to communication. So looking forward to being a part of this. Thank you for the invite.
Well, thank you. And you know, you're exactly right. It's so frustrating to watch. And what I say is that about 90% of the media is hard left. I mean, they're hard left, and they're not allowing us, and they control almost all the mediums, all the platforms for us to be able to reach out to constituents are controlled it's not that they're just part of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. It's that they're hard left, hard socialist left, promoting socialist policies. You know, I think it's really poisoning young people.
Yeah.
I think they've done a real job and a number on our colleges and universities.
Yeah.
And so this is our way to get past that, to move past that, and to take a conservative message about good governance, transparent government, straight to the people. And Jim, I couldn't be more flattered to have you on the show here in Fresno today.
Glad to be
with you. So what I want to be able to do is a lot of people around the nation, they know that California has moved far to the left, and they also don't realize that there are good people like yourself that are up there every day fighting the good fight, trying to make a difference in Sacramento. And I think we are on the cusp of something big. So when I was a very young boy, we passed in this state Proposition 13.
Yep.
And you remember that well. I'm sure you remember those fights. And it was really the first time that the people of California revolted and said, you're not going to continue to raise taxes on our private property. That was back, you know, 35 years ago now. And I believe that this gas tax initiative, which is Proposition 6, is also very similar, because people know that the gas tax and the car vehicle fee is not going to fix the roads in California.
Exactly right.
And we have the second highest gas tax in the nation, next to Pennsylvania. We're just a little bit below them. And we have probably, if not the worst roads, close to the worst roads.
Yep.
Especially here through the San Joaquin Valley. You know, a lot of the money goes to the population centers and the rest of California, which, you know, people don't realize that the San Joaquin Valley is bigger than most states.
Yep.
Fresno-Clovis metro area is like would be the sixth largest.
Fifth or sixth largest city in the state.
So what's happening is these Sacramento continues to pass these taxes where we have the highest gas tax, doesn't go to the actual roads, and our roads are deteriorating. So can you walk us through what's happened?
Welcome to California. It's actually worse than that. The state of California is doing everything that it possibly can in these hard left policies to raise the cost of living of essentials and necessities across the board. Our water rates are going up and up, and they're telling us use less and less water. Our electricity rates are going up and up and up, and they're telling us use less and less electricity. Right now, we are on essentially a flex watch now for several days because our grid is supposed to have the kind of power necessary to run a 21st century economy, and yet because of what the one-party rule in Sacramento has done, we have very expensive electricity, we have a grid that is not as reliable as it should be, and as a result, we're seeing brownouts, blackouts that, quite frankly, are things that are policy made and politician made. So think about this. In California, everything costs more than it should, and most everything costs more than it does in the other states. And what's troubling about it is the necessities of life. And fuel and gasoline is a necessity of life.
Right.
And it's worse than
energy.
It's housing. I mean, less than a third of the people in California can afford a home. This one-party rule is sentencing millions of Californians to nothing more than slavery, to being a renter the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. So these doors of opportunity that Sharon and I were able to go through when we married and made California our home back in the 60s, our grandkids and our kids are no longer in that opportunity state. It's and I really get troubled by that. And the tip of the spear on this is the gas tax. And it's worse than just the gas tax and the taxes, excise tax increases, and all of the expense on cap and trade layers up a lot more expense and all that. Here's the bottom line. In the state of California, you fill up a 20-gallon tank, you're spending 90 to a dollar, 90 cents to a dollar more every time you fill up 20 gallons. You are spending $20 more than anybody else in the United States to fill up their tank.
So
by $20.
Do you agree that I saw an official assessment that for every driver, they're adding about $800 a year? So if you're a husband, wife, and if you have an older child that has their license, so if you have three drivers in the family, you just got your taxes raised by $2,400 a year. Is that? Do you think that's an accurate figure?
First of all, it's accurate, but it also lay that on top of everything else that costs
everything
more than
else,
it should.
Right.
These are necessities, and this is creating, I think, a real problem with the opportunity state that California once was, and I lay this right at the feet of the Democrats. One-party rule, essentially, here has turned us into we're being run by a dictatorship. Quite, I know those are strong words, but they can do anything they want to, anytime they want to. And for those of us who are in the minority, the responsibility is to be passionate about this, persuasive, tough. The bigger mistake for us would be to give up the fight. And we're not going to do
that. And for our national audience, so they know, so we have the ability to put initiatives on the ballot. And I think people should understand that. So we went out, Republicans, Valley Republicans really led the fight on this, along with some of the Orange County Republicans, which are really two of the last areas that there are any Republicans or conservatives left in the state. So we saw an opportunity working with our friends in the state legislature to raise the money to go around the state and get signatures. So we got almost 1 million signatures so that this qualified for the ballot, which it did. So we got it qualified for the ballot, which I think is a good thing for the state. And ultimately, I know a lot of people say as California goes, so goes the rest of the nation. I hope this is like Prop 13 all over again.
This is a real turning point. I mean, think about this for a minute. Over 1 million signatures. We recalled a sitting Democrat.
Which a million signatures means one out of every 40 citizens in the state already signed this petition.
It was a huge victory for grassroots initiative work, and the Democrats, frankly, handed us this on a silver platter. They didn't care what it did to ordinary and average working folks. They did it anyway. Not only, I think, are people in California getting upset that their taxes are going up, they're getting mad at the fact that the Democrats did it to them. The Democrats say they care about people who are working hard to get out, maybe get out of poverty, get up into the middle class and beyond. And everything they do in the state of California keeps those very people from having the opportunity.
Right.
And their only answer in this state is, well, give more welfare. I'm sorry, but I'd much rather have Californians getting paychecks and welfare checks. They will be proud of what they're doing. They will be economically mobile and upwardly mobile. And it's time to tell the Democrats, you've gone too far. We're turning back the clock to a time when California was not one-party ruled and where California actually had an opportunity for everybody,
right,
and this was an affordable state to live in.
And for us to be able to do that, I think that's why Valley Republicans have really been leading on this statewide, is because this is an opportunity for us to show that we can lead, that we can work with independents and conservative Democrats around the state. Because I really believe if we fight hard and we work hard, and I'm already doing some advertising promoting Proposition 6, and we really want people around the state to join our effort, because this is going to be a fight this November.
Oh.
We have a real chance to win this, and you have Governor Brown, and I want to get into this a little bit. Jerry Brown, who was the governor back, you know, in the back once before 70s. For 8 years in the 70s, and now a governor again. And the irony in all this is that I know this for a fact, that he's been calling around, threatening different sectors of the economy, asking them for money. They're now doing these scare tactics where they're trying to scare people around the state of California to say, if you vote for this proposition, it's going to kill this road project. And as I understand it, what we want as Republicans, we're not saying that we want to get rid of the tax completely. We just want to make sure that the gas tax is actually used for the roads.
Here's how bad it is, Devin. Here's how bad it is. The state of California has what is called the State Highway Fund. State Highway Fund is made up of about a half a dozen accounts in which the gas tax money, the excise tax money, the car tax money is supposed to go into accounts, and it goes into most of it goes into account that is the California Highway Maintenance and Secure Fund. In other words, it is there for the express purpose of maintaining and securing those dollars. Right now, for the first time in the state's history, that fund is being tapped for something like $700 million a year to pay the principal and interest payment on the high-speed rail bond debt. That's how bad it is in the state of California.
I did not know that. So that's, I think, just for audience. So let's repeat that again. So this is news to me. So the excise tax.
Sales tax. Excise tax.
And how much
truck weight fees. All of that
is
going to... They go into these accounts.
Mm-hmm.
These accounts are there to secure that money, use it for maintenance, and protect it. And the Democrat ruling majority passed a bill, and it's now law, that allows the state of California to tap for a general obligation bond a fee and a tax. That is unheard of in the state of California. We've never done it before. So if the viewers are concerned about whether or not your gas tax money is being stolen and used for things that aren't roads, streets, and highways, this is what I say. A railroad is not a highway, and you cannot take highway funds. State of California is doing it. Take highway funds, siphon it off, and say we're doing what the taxpayers want. And one other point: for the first time in California history, they have redefined where gas tax money and excise tax road money can go. It used to always be that it was implied or expressed that it would go to roads, highways, streets, and bridges. It now, SB1 changed that. It can go to anything that a politician can stretch into transportation. That means rail. That means walking trails in parks. It means bike lanes. It means the acquisition of park property.
Widening our freeways here, easing congestion.
One other point. SB1 says only 5% of all those billions of dollars can even be considered to be spent on capacity building. What does that mean? It means the gridlock is not going to go away.
Right.
And so we're going to be paying billions of dollars more. It's getting swept out for things that have nothing to do with streets, roads, and highways. And they're purposefully ratcheting down the funds available for capacity building. I think this is part of a strategy by the Democrats to basically make owning an automobile so expensive that many, many people have no other choice, are forced to buses,
that's right.
And by the way, that limits freedom and opportunity for those very
It causes more people to leave the state.
It does.
Which is what's happening.
It does.
So I want to move on. So I think we covered Prop 6 pretty well, but there are a few other issues I want to talk about. And this is related to transportation, but I think it would be interesting for our audience, both statewide and nationally, to hear an update on the high-speed rail. Because you mentioned how some of this money is going to go to pay for the high-speed rail.
Over the next
20
years.
And I think there's a lot of people following the status of this. And if I can just... So in our area here in the Valley, we were selected to have the first piece of the high-speed rail. So we're spending roughly $10 billion. About $3 billion of that was federal dollars that goes back to Obama's stimulus package. And that money, if you drive throughout Fresno and the Valley... They are disrupting farms. They're disrupting. They're taking people's land and private property away, and this is $10 billion that could have done a lot for this region. The $10 billion can be spent on just that one small segment that runs from. It only runs a little over 100 miles
outside of Madera to outside of Bakersfield.
Yeah, so which is about 100 miles roughly, and that's $10 billion. And I don't think the $10 billion is going to be enough to even complete that section. And it's not going to have a train.
This is as bad a boondoggle as I think we've ever seen. Point number one, by their own admission, the High Speed Rail Authority and their latest business plan admits they don't have any idea how they can find the money necessary to complete a project from San Francisco to Los Angeles. We are now left, by their own admission, I think, with a going out of business plan, which basically says we're going to probably build this little segment here. Maybe we'll run some trains on it, although we're not sure. Then they're spending some money up in San Jose, and they're spending a little bit of money down in Los Angeles. They are about $13, maybe $15 billion short of connecting the entire system. Here's what we're getting for this: ripping up thousands of acres of prime ag land, ripping up the city of Fresno and other places up and down the route for what? A rump railroad. Mm-hmm. That cost billions of dollars that will run from just outside Madera to just outside Bakersfield.
Because the total on this, the high-speed rail right now, I mean, it's going to be in this little section is $10 billion. But we're talking about this could be $100 to $200 billion.
Their own admission right now that it's at $100 billion. And by the way, they've missed the mark year after year after year.
Right, because it went from $60 billion,
$30 billion at first, to
30 to 60 to 100. Yeah. My guess is before this is all done, it's going to be close to $200 billion.
And by the way, they
without a train,
and it's going to be the slowest kind of fast train that there is. Even if it gets connected, it cannot possibly compete. With respect to time and convenience with getting a Southwest Airlines airplane from Los Angeles to San Francisco. The market is expecting something that high-speed rail isn't delivering, and we're going to be stuck with a rump railroad.
And we'll have we're going to take this gold-plated railroad that goes for 100 miles, and we're probably going to end up running an Amtrak train.
They admit this in their latest business plan, that if they can't finish it all, they'll essentially... Give a multi-billion-dollar upgrade to Amtrak. But look at all the missed opportunities. Look at all the missed opportunities. We're going to still be stuck riding a train to Bakersfield and getting on a bus. That's missed opportunity because we're breaking the bank on very, very fast train, high speed, rather than doing what Acela's been doing on the East Coast, running at 125, 150 miles. You upgrade the Amtrak. People use it. They love it. It gets from point to point. It's affordable, and the ticket price is affordable as well. People are going to ride a train that's going to have a ticket price that's probably twice the expense of the airplane ride between LA and San Francisco. It's a boondoggle.
It's not going to happen. So just finishing up here, just want to give kind of a little lightning round. I think what people around the country would probably like to hear in the Valley is, what do you do up there? Like, what's it like when you get into, you're in the ultra minority?
Yeah.
You can get very little done. And how do you deal with something? Because, you know, we have a lot of very, what I would call left-wing people in Washington. Yeah. But in California, almost every Democrat is a socialist left-wing Democrat.
Very far.
Almost all of them. Like what you see, the people that, there's a lot of noise now about right. this new socialist that was elected in New York City.
Yep.
But you're dealing with these people every day. Can you give our national audience just a flavor of the folks you deal with?
We get a seat. With it comes the authority and the power to investigate, pull back the curtain on what the Democrats are doing, and be loud about it, and to utilize the tools of audits, utilize the tools of accountability hearings and the like, and forcing the Democrats to own up to the train wreck that they're creating in California. We've been able to do that with high-speed rail. There is an audit now for high-speed rail. Democrats didn't want us to get that done. We were able to get that done. The feds are now going to be auditing the high-speed rail as well. We right now are going to force the Democrats, frankly, to accept a deep, wide audit on the Department of Motor Vehicles. We have 5 and 6 hour wait times going on here. Mm-hmm. They are utterly making people's lives miserable because they're absolutely mismanaging it, even though they give them tens of hundreds of millions of dollars. Plus, we have the media, and we have the opportunity to be in the minority and do so by being passionate about it, by knowing the facts, telling the truth, and being at the table and saying, I'm sorry, you're doing it the wrong way. Let's turn back to a California that is much, much better, much more prosperous, an opportunity state. Sooner or later, the pendulum is going to swing.
And it's going to be about water, which is the lifeblood of everything here in the Valley and all over California. It's going to be about transportation and energy costs.
Yep.
And it's going to be about housing, so that people can afford housing. And I think you're right, Jim, that transparency that you're bringing to Sacramento and us trying to figure out a way to work together to bring this message out to the people to circumvent, like we talked about, the very extreme left-wing media, I think is the only way that we're going to get this done.
I think summarize it this way. And C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite writers, Chronicles of Narnia, Surprised by Joy. He said this, we all want progress. When we find ourselves, though, on the pathway that takes us farther and farther away from where we want to go, then the most progressive of people are those who turn back the soonest. And when we say we're going to turn back, we're turning back to the principles and ideas of Reagan and others who were able to see this state as a golden state and return it to greatness. And I really think that we are on the wrong path. More and more Californians are figuring it out. We have an opportunity now and an obligation to let people know what that new path is going to be like, and I think that's going to be a very attractive alternative to the same old routine that we hear from the Democrats.
There you have it with Jim Patterson, Assemblyman here in California, and talking about C.S. Lewis. Jim, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
I want to thank Wahoo's Taco for allowing us to use their facility today to bring a little bit of Valley flavor to a national and statewide audience. And Jim, thank you so much
for being here. And thank you for your leadership in Congress. You have tens upon thousands of people who are supporting you here. And I want to early congratulate you on a runaway victory.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams. Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We've started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith. Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. We the people, free and strong, fight through the dark night toward the dawn. Freedom marches on. afraid.
That's why they call her the home of the brave.
With a prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.